Well, President Trump might have conceded without actually using that concede word, but it's buoyed the markets, and the president has been happy to appear in public and boast about how equities have reached new highs on the news. Oil is also climbing steeply as the world looks towards normality sometime next year. So what do the central banks do next? Well, the RBNZ might have to control the price of house price inflation in its remit. More on that today. Plus, Australian construction numbers today and a heap of data from the United States as well. But really, the COVID numbers are the reality check that should temper some of the market enthusiasm. They're not going down. It's Wednesday, the 25th of November, 2020. It's the morning call from NAB. Good morning. Well, the US dollar is down 0.25%, having been down, then up, then down again this session. We've got a 3 basis point rise in 10-year Treasury yields as well. The Aussie dollar is up 0.9%. The pound is 0.25% up. The euro a little more than that. And US stocks are really on the rise, a 1.5% rise in the Dow. It hit a record high today, 1.6% for the S&P 500 and 1.3% for the NASDAQ. Europe also up. The FTSE is up 1.6%. The Euro Stoxx 50 is up 1.3%. And big rises in oil, 4.4% for WTI. It got over $45 a barrel, I think actually for the first time since the start of the pandemic, and almost 4% for Brent, and nothing to do with oil, but Tesla's share price rocketed up almost 5% today ahead of its S&P 500 debut next month. So, Rodrigo Cotrill is here, Senior FX Strategist at NAB in Sydney. Let's look at this risk-on mood, first of all, Rodrigo, because we've been saying the markets were ignoring concerns. Whenever I brought it up, concerns about Donald Trump not handing over the keys to the White House, everyone's been saying, well, the markets have been ignoring that. But yesterday, the General Services Administration, the GSA, started the formal handover procedure at Donald Trump's behest. And the market has responded. We had this overwhelming positivity today. So they have been holding something back.
Morning, Phil. Yes, quite right. There's certainly been a factor in the sense of, I suppose now the market can gain confidence of a peaceful transition, that you're not going to expect a big sort of opposition to the whole process. So that is a positive. There's also been a little bit of sort of speculation about what the nomination of Janet Yellen as the Treasury Secretary means. If you recall, last week we had this issue between the Treasury pulling back money from the Fed. So again, that tension between Treasury and the Fed now, and the Biden presidency and a Yellen as Treasury is likely to, you know, go away, given how Yellen, of course, was a chair, and the relationship there between the Fed and the government should improve. So that also plays into the sort of positivity in markets. And it has to be said as well that we've also had headlines around vaccines in terms of the U.S. administration or the Food and Drug Administration looking to accelerate the process of the emergency authorization for vaccines such as, you know, Pfizer and so on. So now they're talking about, you know, the potential of potentially even 3 weeks of the vaccines being distributed in the U.S. So all of that is playing into the positive vibes that we've seen overnight.
And I'm imagining, I mean, obviously, if there's if the Republicans hold the Senate, then it's not going to be so easy. But Janet Yellen, I'm imagining, would be, you know, very supportive of stimulus.
Yes. I mean, at the moment, some are speculating that this means obviously more stimulus, and it has to, it's probably worth reminding that it's not up to the Treasury, it's really up to the Senate. Of course, you know, the majority is still held by Republicans in the Senate, and we have to see how that Georgia election plays out early in January.
All right. Well, Donald Trump, of course, is taking the credit for the fact that, you know, the response to him saying that he's going to step aside. Well, first of all, he's saying he's not. I mean, he's because he tweeted the GSA, the General Services Administration, does not determine who the next president of the United States will be, even though he told them that they could start the whole process off. But I think he's trying to straddle, you know, his supporters to keep contributing money to him, whilst, you know, not seem to be getting in the way of the whole process. But he's been boasting. He made a public appearance recently in the last hour or so, his first public appearance since the vote. Saying that the Dow has broken 30,000, and obviously taking some of the credit for that. So there we are. But the Dow over 30,000, are the bulls going to go run rampant now? I mean, if we look at when it was over 20,000, there's a really steep climb up to 26 at the end of 2017. So I wonder whether this is an important barrier.
Yeah, so you touch on two things. So in terms of the Trump issue story, it's probably worth noting that as much as he may be still trying to contest the election, important events have occurred over the past couple of days and also overnight, with Nevada confirming and certifying Biden win.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania has also done that. Georgia has also done that. So
it's over for
essentially,
him.
He's got no. It's basically over for him. So I think the market is just pricing that in fully.
Yeah.
And then the other issue in terms of the Dow. It's sort of plays into that narrative of the move or the rotation towards, you know, the beaten stocks during because of the COVID-19.
Yeah.
And of course, the Dow now moving above that 30,000 is the mark in terms of, you know, recovering all the losses over the pandemic. And it's, of course, it's encouraging because it's a reflection of how the market is now beginning to price in this broad global recovery, which now includes, you know, the likes of airlines and as you pointed out, now oil prices have also climbing higher, reflecting that gaining confidence. So it's really good news.
Yeah, it is. Well, American Airlines up more than 8% today. But, you know, there's still a bit to go, isn't there? I was looking at the total number of commercial flights tracked by Flight Radar, 7-day moving average. It's about 68,000 flights. This time last year, it was 113,000. So it's still 40% down. You know, we know there's a long way to go, so it is looking quite a way forwards. But look, the FOMC publishes its minutes from the November meeting. They've got another meeting coming up soon, of course. The question is, will they be buying up longer-term bonds? We've talked about this. Will the minutes give anything away on this today?
They may give something away. The market is hoping to get some hints. You know, the U.S. economy, although it is going okay in terms of those data releases that come with a lag, when you look at the more sort of up-to-date kind of activity indicators, such as the jobless claims, which we'll get today or later today, it's telling us that the economy is losing momentum. Also, those credit card readings, for instance, also suggesting there's been a significant decline, again reflecting how, you know, the move away from the stimulus and the high level of unemployment is being affected or is affecting the economy. So in that regard, because of the stalemate in the government and the Senate and the Congress in general to create more stimulus, that's where the Fed needs to play a bigger role. And they highlighted that in the November meeting, that there may be a need to tweak the way the purchasing program is set up, essentially meaning that they might lean towards buying more longer dated U.S. treasuries. And then overnight, we also had Fed Williams again reiterating that as much as they're watching how the economy is evolving and things are going relatively well, they're concerned about that momentum. And he again reiterated the ability of the Fed to tweak if needed. So it remains to be seen whether the weakness in this sort of up-to-date data is enough to tilt the Fed into action. But of course, it's also, you know, important to remember that, you know, that this, if the stimulus doesn't come, this loss of momentum is only likely to you know, get worse, if you like.
Yeah. Look, interesting what's happening in New Zealand right now. The RBNZ publishes its biannual financial stability report today, and we'll also hear from Governor Orr from the RBNZ giving a news conference after that. But we saw big moves in bond yields in New Zealand, 10 years up, I think 10 basis points, almost up to 0.9%. The Kiwi dollar touching 70 US cents. It's not far off that now. All this stemming from the finance minister writing to the RBNZ saying that he's concerned about house prices and keeping house prices in check, suggesting that should be part of the bank's remit. I mean, house prices have been going crazy, up 11% in a year over there. I just wonder how the central bank can do that without putting interest rates up, which they obviously don't want to do right now.
Yeah, so it's I suppose there's a couple of angles about what has occurred. One is this has been sort of a public request, if you like, so it does kind of bring into question a little bit of the independence of the bank. At the same time, it also highlights that the government is concerned about you know the stability of the huge rise in house prices, and we got to remember as well that the RBNZ is about to release this funding for lending program, so it's going to make you know, easy funding or cheaper funding for banks as well, which again will play into the narrative of stimulating the economy, but also likely pushing house prices high as well. So It's quite a timely letter because, of course, today we have the financial stability report, and that's what the report is all about. So looking about the potential of bubbles, if you like, in the economy, and of course the housing market is a big focus at the moment. So the RBNZ has rightly pointed out that they like many other central banks have looked to stimulate the economy given the pandemic, and part of the process of stimulating the economy is to lower interest rates, thereby promoting spending and investment. So it is sort of a blunt tool, but it does have a positive effect, and is needed in times of like this, when we have a recession. So it remains to be seen how it will play out. What we're also going to remember as well is that not only the RBNZ, but other central banks have introduced regulatory measures, such as, limiting the amount of leverage that you can have, so how much money you can borrow. And so there are other ways that you can introduce in order to sort of ease up some of that upward pressure that we're seeing in house prices. Mm. So my guess is that will be the focus, because the RBNZ will retain an easing bias, and of course that funding for lending will is still coming. Yeah.
Now, you said it, this question about the independence between central banks and government treasuries. How long is that going to take to get back to normal? Not in a hurry, by the looks of it, given that example in New Zealand, and perhaps with Janet Yellen as the new Treasury Secretary in the United States. Look, today, for Australia, Q3, construction work done. Presumably, there's an expectation, maybe not quite so quickly, but construction is going to pick up at some point. I mean, NAB's upgraded the GDP forecast, so obviously construction is going to be a big contributor to that.
Yes, particularly bearing in mind all this infrastructure spending as well that is coming along the way. So there's certainly a lot of positivity to look forward to in that regard as well. We also remember that Victoria has been in lockdown, so a lot of the construction stopped. But now that the lockdown has been opened, we can assume that there's going to be a resurgence in that activity as well. So for the day, the construction work done for Q3 is likely to be negative. We're just below consensus at -2%. And again, largely reflecting that Victoria lockdown. But when we look ahead, we are suggesting that we are likely to see a solid Q3 GDP print of around 4%, but also the prospects of a solid recovery over the following quarters looks very likely, given the strength of the consumer, how much savings there is in the market, and the role the consumer is likely to play, plus, as we said, all that fiscal stimulus, which is very much geared on the infrastructure side, which should be positive for the construction industry as well.
And lots of US numbers today as well. You mentioned the weekly jobless claims that are out tonight, preliminary wholesale inventories, durable goods orders, non-defense capital goods orders, the second read of Q3 GDP. We get the University of Michigan consumer sentiment read as well. But, they're historical numbers by and large. You look at the US COVID numbers, they're probably what really counts right now, just to stem that positivity that we've been talking about today. 172,000 new cases on Monday, almost 1,000 new deaths. Before we get to the new normal, there's a lot of hurt to be felt before we get there. And just one parting note, Andrew Bailey from the Bank of England today said a no-deal Brexit would cause more long-term damage to the UK economy than the coronavirus pandemic. But as yet, no deal. Stay tuned on that, I guess.
Stay tuned. I mean, the market is still traveling with this idea that a deal looks more likely than not. But yeah, we've been here before, so we just need to wait and see how it's going to play out.
Yeah, we will. We'll keep waiting. All right. Good to talk, Rodrigo. Catch you soon.
Thanks, Phil. Talk soon. Cheers.
Well, that was a busy one. We've got another one tomorrow morning. I'm Phil Dobby for NAB. Catch you then. Have a great day.